This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Game Time, episode 23. My name is Jeff Sandhu.
Hello, I'm Rich Bradbury.
And on the show today, we actually have a full house because Kwa Jen Han is with us today.
Hello.
And we have, Richard, why don't you introduce the next guest?
It's our intern from That Time of Night. His name is Henry Chu. Say hello, Henry.
Hey, guys. Hi.
Now, the reason why we've got a full house is because the only Englishman in the studio here doesn't actually watch football.
play football. Right.
Or know much about football. So, I decided... I can't do the FIFA 17 review by myself.
Right. Okay, well, I don't watch football also, but I wanted to make this a full house, so it's like your football show, and I can play like, good evening, it's the football show.
So, okay, FIFA 17.
Yes.
It is the latest installment in the FIFA series, and obviously this is the biggest one so far because they've added a story mode.
Yeah, and they're running on a new engine,
The Frostbite engine, which has been used in like Battlefield and Battlefront and all, right? Yeah. So this is the biggest attraction for even players who don't play football, Jen Han.
Yes, I agree.
You know, where, you know, it's like, wow, maybe I should get into, you know, sports simulation game or sports arcade game like FIFA, because it gives you this storytelling. It's called The Journey.
We've heard a lot about the talent of this young man, Alex Hunter. He had a wide choice of clubs to sign for. Today, his journey begins as he makes his Premier League debut.
So you play a character called Alex Hunter, which is Englishman, by the way, Richard.
It's an incredibly English name, yes. I bet he's from London as well.
Yeah,
of course.
Yes, and he's got a friend called Gareth Walker, which he calls Gaz.
Oh, yeah.
You're feeling at home, Rich.
Of course. Straight back to high school.
All right, so Alex Hunter is an upcoming talent in the English football. He's
17.
He's 17 years old. His father was a footballer as
his
well.
His grandfather was a footballer. Jim Hunter was a big football player.
He's got 22 goals in...
23, I think.
Yeah, 23 goals.
See, like, look at me. I don't know football and I can tell you stats about this fictional character.
So, he has this enormous amount of talent at 17 years old. Yep. And what happens is basically you start off in an exit trial.
Yeah.
And that is where you need to prove your point. And that is where I think the game just immediately sort of fails for me. Because...
It sorts everything out for you.
Like, I just don't see any way I could fail. Like,
okay.
Because no matter what you do in the exit trial, you still get an option to sign for all 20 of the Premier League clubs. I've done it twice. And the reason why I've played it twice...
You must be really bad.
So the reason why I played it twice is the first time I played it on, I went on for 2 hours non-stop just trying to see, you know, what the journey is. And I got hooked into it. I was like, wow, this is interesting.
Yeah.
Fairly exciting, but the conversations were a bit lacking, which we'll get into it in just a moment. And then I realized that, hang on a minute, like there's no actually save button in that sense where, you know, career mode, last time you could, you know, press the square button and you save it and it'll be done. Or there's an auto-save thing and you know it's being auto-saved, then you can quit. So I did that. After 2 hours, thought, oh, must have auto-save off my PS4. Next morning, turn it back on. It restarted the journey over again.
Oh,
so I
strange.
Had 2 hours of gameplay that just vanished.
Okay.
It could be the reason maybe my, you know, EA got disconnected from, you know, internet problems and all that kind of thing, which is not a very familiar problem for a lot of us here.
excuse me.
So that happened. Hence, the second time that I started to play Journey, I decided to go completely opposite of what I initially tried to do. Initially, I tried to be like the best player and be the one who, you know, be buddy with everyone else. I was playing the cool character. The second time round, I just became the angry character. It's all me, right? And it's still the same for me.
I think it's interesting. It's worth noting that Jeff could be like a me character, because as Alex Hunter, you get options in terms of dialogue.
Yeah.
Like you get to, when someone asks you a question or they have this few, characters that will talk to you, and like, you get to reply with a fiery answer, a cool answer, or a balanced answer. And this, the way you answer things, the only effect it has is that whether if you answer a fiery answer, you get more fans for your a Twitter account. And the Twitter account gives you endorsement deals, okay? But it will anger your manager. And a cool response would, your manager would like you, but you have less fans. And when your manager likes you, like there's a bar. I don't know if you reach this far, but when you play in the Premier League or what, there's a bar that's like, well, depends on
where
how
you
much,
are.
Where
in
you
the,
are. You could be in the starting 11, a substitute,
or the reserve.
Or reserve.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that comes to my point. So, Henry, you're also a football fan, just like I am.
Yep.
You know that the characters, whether it's a fiery player or a cool-headed player, it doesn't have any, you know, effect. The manager's opinion and the fans' opinion should be the same. It doesn't mean if I'm a cool character, I win fans, but I burn bridges with my manager.
That's true.
You have to be a disciplined player. Like your grandfather, Jim Hunter, has mentioned to you several times. Okay, pay attention to the story, guys. It's not just football.
In the end, what the journey was trying to do was give a story to the Be A Pro kind of version. But again, like what you said earlier about how whether or not he's a fiery character, whether or not he's a cool character, doesn't really affect anything because in the end, you talk on the pitch.
Exactly. Yeah. You talk on the pitch. So let's talk about the gameplay now. Mm. It's changed as well. Free kicks is not the same anymore. Penalties is not the same. Jenhan, have you played FIFA 16 or 15?
I have played FIFA 16.
Okay. So you know that there's changes. Richard?
No. Okay. The last one I played was FIFA 15, I think.
Yeah. That's not too bad.
It's not too bad.
So 17 this time around.
Based on my limited knowledge on the FIFA and football, I think penalties now you have to. Okay, so the right stick moves your character before you take a shot.
Yep.
And you have to run up to the ball.
You gotta run up.
It's so annoying now, though, the whole mechanism. Because you can't control the pace of the ball until you see the arrow. And if you play with your friends with the arrow on, it's such a good giveaway for penalties.
It is.
What we usually do when we play with friends is we hide the controllers away from each other when we play. It's like, you're not looking at where I'm gonna kick, but now you get to see it.
No, you see, this is where you guys are amateurs. When you finish the journey like I have, you learn, in between games, you have to go for training, right?
Yep.
And some trainings are set pieces where you learn penalty and free kick. After a while, the arrow disappears because you get used to how far you have to push your control and stuff like that.
Okay, all right. Moving along to just the game itself compared to FIFA 16 and FIFA 15, the biggest addition was the journey. Mm-hmm. Is it worth the money just for the journey itself? Because how long... Okay, Jenhan, you finished the game.
I finished the journey,
right? Is it a story that it's like, even though I'm not such a football fan and, you know, I'm
I am not a football fan.
Were you satisfied by the story?
I found it fun, okay? Like, you know that cliche people say about women watch porn for the story? Well, I bought FIFA for the story. Like, it's great. It's so amazing. I like it. Like, I get to be involved. Like, and I put Alex Hunter in Manchester United because like that is the team which I can name the most players. That's how little I know football, and I enjoyed it.
Right.
Like, I can't wait for the football games to end so that I can continue the story. So I don't know if I'm the right person to ask, but it was fun that way.
Mm. So it's attracted you as a not a football fanatic in that sense. Yeah. You know, you're not passionate about football, but it still managed to attract you.
Yes, it did, because the way they set up the story was fairly interesting. Like, Alex Hunter had a black mother and a white father who was a footballer like the grandfather. So the family of Hunters are footballers, but mom and dad had problems.
Yeah.
Dad had an injury. He couldn't play anymore. He got angry, probably fell off the wagon, went for beer. Like, I don't know. Richard, is it normal in England? I don't know.
Yeah, fill us in, Richard. What happened?
You're taking a man from London and making him play up in the north. He's going to have a few drinks.
Okay.
Well, I mean, my question for you is this. I mean, Jenhan, I know you as a gamer, right? And the games that you play tend to be either, you know, first-person shooters or so something like this, for you to want to pick up FIFA, that's the... Why would you do that?
Yeah.
You know, genuinely, why have you decided to pick it up?
Because I played the demo. Like, I have a friend who was a FIFA fanatic, and like he said, try this, and I played the demo. And in the demo, like, I was in MU, Manchester United already, and like I realized there were choices to make in terms of dialogue which could kind of affect his character, right? But so that was very interesting for me, and the story was nice. Like, he had a best friend called Gareth Walker, who in the demo itself, you would be hinted that there will be some tension between you two.
Right.
He's your enemy slash friend.
Yeah. He's your enemy slash friend. And then there's a frenemy. Trash. You also have another frenemy who's a trash talker.
Right.
Yeah.
My question is then, these skills and the way in which you kind of live your life, if you like, in this journey, does that affect your skills on the pitch at all?
Yes.
It does. Do you, let's say, for example, you're a fiery player or whatever, and I don't know, your coach decides that you can only have so many sessions per month. Anything like that?
Well, I think, I don't know if the fiery or the cool responses kind of change the way you play your game.
Right.
Right. But that changes, like I said, the manager rating and your fans rating.
What changes the skill set is actually what they did was every time you level up in terms of your overall ratings, you will get this
trait points.
And that you can add to your attributes so you get the attributes that you want. Yeah.
Right.
It's basically like a RPG kind of thing that they're trying to include into the journey.
Henry's Alex Hunter and Jen Hunt's Alex Hunter and my Alex Hunter is slightly different in terms of the skill. We may play in a different position as well, which you have the option
because you
to,
can choose which position. Yeah. But it has to be an attacking position.
It has to be attacking.
Because that's where all the glam is, Rich. Yeah. But you can't do a story of defense, a left back. You can't be a journey story on a left back. Like, what's his story?
I want a slight tackle every time. I'll get a red card, break someone's leg. That's
a good story.
It needs to be the glam.
What is interesting, I don't know if this is true or not because I'm not a FIFA FIFA player. As Alex Hunter, I realized that the enemies or what would you call them?
The opposition.
The opposition.
The enemies are an RPG.
Yeah, I mean they always stay in your crosshair. I mean like they would always try to be around you, so they almost giving you a chance to commit a foul. So you know whether you're more controlled as Alex Hunter. And like when you play, so eventually, no spoilers, but like Gareth Walker and you will have some disagreement. And like
very early on, you can.
You can see in games where both of you are involved, there is some, like he's behaving oddly.
Right.
Or like, I think the difficulty changes. Let's say like, because I play on amateur. And like I would score 6-0, 7-0. Because, you know, Alex Hunter is a double hat trick kind of a guy for me. But
what difficulty are you playing on, Henry? Professional, I guess.
Semi-pro. I'm not really that much confident with single player gameplay when it comes to like the journey and be a pro. So I would just go a notch down from what I play usually.
Oh, okay. What's interesting for me is I played FIFA 16 as well. And I found semi-pro to be difficult there.
It is.
And on amateur for FIFA 17, as Alex Hunter, I'm scoring 7-0, right? So they will tell you, they will ask you if you want to change to semi-pro, and I
did. Upgrade yourself, yeah.
And I still didn't find it as difficult.
Yeah, which is it happened to me in FIFA 15. Yeah. I've always just been amateur. I moved from PS to FIFA, and then it jumped on very quickly to semi-pro, and then semi-pro to pro was just very quick as well. And now in pro in FIFA 17, I still feel it can be one more level up. I think world class is the next
world class. Back then in like FIFA 12, FIFA 13, they had this option called legendary where you had to unlock. I wish they bring it back because it was
different.
It brought something of a variety to a very stale movement.
Well, now the variety is the journey.
Yeah.
It's 209 ringgit. I remember it very clearly because I did it over the weekend and it was very painful.
And then you wasted 2 hours.
Is it worth the money? So, Jenhan, very quickly, worth the money as a non-hardcore footballer but gamer?
Well, I think if you are not a football fan, but you do occasionally watch football, or you can name at least three players from one team.
Can you name three players?
No.
Very quickly.
No, I
Come
can't.
Come on.
I can't. Genuinely. No. Genuinely cannot.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say if you have some interest in football, then yes, it might be. But because you do have to play a lot of football games, you'll be in the league. Right? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it is.
League.
It is, yeah.
And then you've got to play in the FA Cup. See?
All right. And
but if you are not a football fan at all, I think there are games with better stories.
All right. Henry, as a football fan, as a FIFA gamer as well, over the number of years, is FIFA 17 really worth that jump?
It's worth the jump on Frostbite Engine, but not on the journey. I wouldn't pay for the journey because I have Be A Pro. I can make my own story. I don't need EA to set a story for me.
Yeah, but did you have like a Jim Hunter grandfather who scored 23 goals in your story?
Jeff, let me ask you a question. A few weeks ago when you were deciding whether or not to buy this game,
I know.
Right? We had this debate and I said it cannot be that different to FIFA 16, right? And I said to you, is it going to be worth 209 ringgit just for the journey? So you've got to answer the same question you're asking everybody else.
So I did decide to make that splurge, 209 ringgit, just because I thought, you know what, I'm just going to buy it. I was still playing FIFA 16, and I'm still in that sense. I bought it just because of the journey. And I will honestly say it's not worth the money.
See, you should have listened to Richard.
Probably should have made the investment in Battlefield 1 pre-order.
Right. if I were to rebut on that, I think FIFA 17 is providing a very fresh change to what has been a very stagnant story FIFA.
Yeah.
From FIFA 09 all the way to FIFA 16, you have the same thing where it's just league, be a pro. But once in a while, you have the World Cup Special Edition, which you have to also pay for.
This is EA we're talking about.
It's EA that will definitely, yeah.
So, okay. One downside to FIFA 17 for me was that the music is not great. The song choices are not great.
Really?
Yeah. Why? Interesting. I'm actually a big fan of the current soundtrack. Really? I think there are a few tracks that I was like, oh, what's this? And I Shazammed it and I'm like, hey, this is actually very nice.
09 will forever be my favorite soundtracks. 09 was the best.
09.
Yeah.
Now, okay, so we've decided there's like three different opinions here. Yeah, not totally not worth it. Yeah, if you're a fan, okay.
If you watch porn for the story, then FIFA will be okay for you.
All right. But overall, as the game itself, you know, take the journey out because they've changed the game itself. FIFA 17 has changed from the way you could play in FIFA 16. FIFA 16 just felt, you know, a lot of simulated in that sense, like everything the player kind of, you know, moves in a certain direction no matter what, especially when you get the ball. In FIFA 17, like the way your body position is and the way that the ball receives to you and even how you can, you know, sort of make the pass from the outside of your boot.
Yeah.
These kind of smaller details, you don't realize it's actually part of the way that you control has changed as well. Just because of that, is it worth the upgrade from 16 to 17 because the gameplay itself or the game mechanics have changed?
Yes.
I think it's worth the buy if you're a football fan and
if
you play the
FIFA
leagues.
If you're a FIFA fan, I would say if you are a FIFA...
You play Ultimate Team, you probably play the career mode
manager,
and all that. Yeah. Then definitely yes. If it's just for the journey itself,
no.
Don't do it. Nah, it's. I don't think it's worth just for the journey.
I agree.
No one plays football games for the stories.
Excuse me.
except for Jenna. No.
Anyways, we'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk about Mafia 3 and a little bit of news on the PS4 side. This is Game Time, BFM 89.9.
Bring forth money, BFM 89.9.
And we're back. This is Game Time, episode 23. My name is Jeff Sandu.
I'm Rich Bradbury.
And Jen Han.
I'm Kwa Jen Han. And Jen Han, yes.
And Jen Han is in the studio as well. I just wanted to say that. So, moving along to Mafia 3. It was also out on the PS4, Xbox, PC, basically the whole lot. Everybody wants to go to heaven.
Tell them I'm on my way. But nobody. Tell them I'm on my way. Nobody wants. I keep my mind on my money. I keep my hand on my gunny. Don't get to playing with Sonny unless you play Boy Bunny. I put bow in your tummy.
I've played Mafia 1 and 2.
Okay.
Mafia 1 was based in, set in like 1930s.
Okay.
Mafia 2 was set in 1940s.
Yeah.
Mafia 3 has been sort of fast forward to the 1968.
Yes, late 1960s.
Late
1960s. After the Vietnam War. All
right. So what's happening with Mafia 3? What's the story here? What's the gist of the story?
Okay, before we get to the story, like what I found strange with Mafia 3 is that it's a huge open world kind of a game, right?
Like Grand Theft Auto?
Like Grand Theft Auto, I guess it's the easiest comparison to make. But 2K kept an advanced copy away from reviewers. So it was very unassuring, I guess. Because in a big game, why would you not let someone review the game? So I was thinking, oh, it might be a bit buggy and stuff, but I decided to just take the risk and get it. It is slightly buggy, but the story is you play Lincoln Clay. Okay, like Alex Hunter from FIFA, also a biracial character.
Right.
A Dominican mom, white father. But he, and the game, before it starts, tells you up front that this game, there are, well, not issues, but like there will be racism. You are a colored person. And we feel that hiding this away from the game is more disrespectful than showing you what it was. So 2K tells you that up front.
Wow.
So you are in 1968 New Bordeaux, which is modeled after New Orleans. Right. So there are, you are a, well, I guess, categorized black orphan with no one to go to except for this pastor and this other small-time gangster, okay, called Sammy. He's like your dad. So that's how the story starts.
Okay, all right.
But everything is set in a documentary style.
Hmm.
Does that make sense?
In a documentary style.
Okay, yes. So like watching a documentary, imagine if Lincoln Clay was like the biggest, or if you're watching a documentary on Pablo Escobar, you get the CIA, one guy sitting on a desk telling you a story, you get like some courtroom footages and stuff. That's how it is.
Ah, gotcha. So it's not chronological in a sense. There may be flashbacks that you will encounter and you have to play this.
It starts off in a non-linear fashion and then eventually it becomes a fairly more linear.
Okay. All right. So the thing that I loved about Mafia 1 and Mafia 2 was the way that it made me feel I'm part of the mob. Yeah. In that sense, right? And you know, you were playing a character who was, you know, coming up through the ranks in the mob world, and you felt that, you know, the cars that you were driving as well, like it really felt like, wow, I'm in the 1930s, I'm in the 1940s. Yes. I played it on the PC, and this was a while back ago. Mafia 3, when I saw it, immediately, like I mentioned, it's like Grand Theft Auto.
Okay, but I did not play Mafia 1 and 2, but based on your description, I think the world they've created is still as fascinating as probably the earlier mafias, because it's very true to the times, like the cars you're driving, they also feel heavier. Like in Grand Theft Auto, you get like really fast, crazy modern cars. In Mafia 3, no, the cars are really, really heavy.
Difficult to turn around corners.
Difficult to turn around corners. Right. Like you may accidentally knock someone down.
Yeah.
Which is not advisable in Mafia 3, but highly advisable in Grand Theft Auto.
And that's the thing that I liked about Mafia 1 and 2. And it's nice that they did sort of kept it, because it's now you're driving like a Fords and the Mustangs or something.
A lot
like,
of
the
late Pontiacs.
A lot of Pontiacs, yeah, because it's the late 1960s.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So that's the different types of cars, whereas in the 40s and in the 30s, you used to get like the really old...
The Oldsmobiles.
Oldsmobiles. The ones that look like Model Ts, you know, but with better roof and all that kind
of thing. So what else is great in the 1960s, or well, late 1960s, is the music.
Right.
The Mafia 3 soundtrack is great. Like it starts off with, I think one of the earlier scenes, like you enter a car and you know radios are always on. Turn on, and you have three stations in the car. I think one of the earlier songs I heard was "Sympathy for the Devil," Rolling Stones. And then there was a scene in the game very early on. You're driving a boat, right, and you're escaping. Okay, let's just put it, you're escaping. And the song is "Born to Be Wild," but because you're escaping, like the game expects you to constantly be at full throttle, right? Because you're being shot at. And I don't know how, but I think they timed it so well that when you jump off a ramp, the chorus kicks in.
Wow.
So in that sense, I think the integration of the music and the game is great.
All right. In terms of just bugginess, like is it really buggy that it affects the gameplay and it's frustrating to play?
I see. Here's the thing. I don't know if it was my controller. At first, I was thinking maybe it might be my controller, because sometimes my Lincoln Clay just pulls out his gun and like something's happening, I'm not sure what. And it's not advisable again in Mafia 3, which I found strange. I'm a huge Grand Theft Auto fan because you get to do whatever you want. Okay, and like literally you can beat up a grandma, which is not advisable in real life, but in Grand Theft Auto, yes, right?
Yeah.
In Mafia 3, you cannot do that, because if you scare someone, or if let's say like you accidentally crash into someone, which can happen because the cars are heavy, if there's a witness, that witness will try and call the cops.
Ah.
And if you want to stop that from happening, you have to go and take down the witness.
Ooh.
But if someone sees you doing that, it becomes a chain reaction.
Ah.
But I mean, I'm looking at some of the reviews, and there's quite a division between critic reviews and user reviews, right? Ooh. The critics are saying, you know, it's pretty good, and it's a title that will in fact divide the public. And a lot of the public, you've kind of got people who are giving it 8 to 10, But then on the other scale, you've got a lot more that are giving it zeros and twos and threes, and they're saying that it is, in fact,
it's
quite buggy. Yeah. Mm.
It is. So apart from the gun, the pulling out of the gun and stuff, sometimes my camera, well, just shifts. It has happened, I think 3 or 4 times. And I guess the review, maybe some of them are... It's very hard not to draw a comparison with Grand Theft Auto.
Right.
In Grand Theft Auto, the characters who are not even part of a mission, like people on the street, are more colorful. Whereas in Mafia 3, they seem to be just a few kinds of people, and they always say the same thing.
Right.
And it's very, generic.
Right.
It's like, hey, watch out. One of those.
It's just one of the very few things that you could say.
Yeah, whereas in Grand Theft Auto,
yeah,
sometimes you get a guy preaching on the street and he's got a whole a monologue for himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this idea of like 2K not releasing any early reviews to the general public, or that's become a problem lately of quite a few games recently. And we've seen the kind of knock-on effects that's had for stuff like No Man's Sky. We've seen that, which has now got a class action lawsuit against it and all kinds of stuff. And, do you think that's the reason then that maybe Mafia 3 wasn't quite finished yet and they thought, right, we just got to get it out anyway?
I don't know. It's hard to say that it's not finished yet because I found the game fairly repetitive in terms of mission.
Right.
Like, it's a Mafia, so of course you eventually, after being betrayed, you instead of climbing up the ranks, you are now going to take down an entire, like, the Marcano crime family or something like that. Like, you want to take them down. So you have to go after the lieutenants and then only the capos and then the big boss, right? The missions are all very similar to one another. Yeah, you just have to meet someone who will tell you more about this lieutenant you're supposed to take down. But to get the lieutenant to show up, you have to destroy his record.
Right.
So then you go and destroy the record, you steal his money, you deplete him of money so that he will show up. You either convince him to join you or you kill him, and then you continue, and that repeats itself.
Right. Anyway, so is it worth the money in that sense? Like, because it's so divided in the sense, reviews are saying, I think, like, this Forbes here is saying, like, the critics must be mad. Mafia 3 is excellent. Must be crazy. Mafia 3 is fantastic.
I would say it's definitely not excellent, but it's not horrible either. If you are looking for, I guess like an open world kind of a game, in fact, it's not as open world as Grand Theft Auto because it slowly unlocks certain parts. Yeah, and there are collectibles that you can pick up.
It's like Grand Theft Auto when Grand Theft Auto decided to make it an open world format, I think in Grand Theft Auto 3.
Even The Division, in fact, to a degree.
It sounds The Division. You could just expand your...
With Division, like, you get to go to the other places, but like you die immediately, right? You don't get to go to the other places as much in Mafia 3.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if, because I'm only halfway through the game, and like I have driven to a part where there is a toll booth, so I'm sure like that part has not been unlocked yet.
It could be an expansion or something.
Yeah,
like
and
that
because
well,
you're in
so
a right. and you're in a bayou. So there are swamps and like there's alligator which you can actually be eaten by one. So I guess that's I don't know. Like I think there are certain parts of the map that I have not unlocked yet. Not sure.
Okay. Is it worth the money that is it worth whatever you paid for?
I think it was about like 200 plus.
Oh, you guys got so much throwaway money. FIFA, we say we don't know. Mafia 3, okay.
It's a terrible review for both of these games now. It just feels like, 209 ringgit for FIFA 17. Nah, don't buy it unless you're a fan. 249 ringgit for Mafia 3. Just wait for Easter sale, I guess.
That's probably a good advice. I wouldn't say it's a must buy now. I confess I bought it because I was very curious. Like it all seems so nice.
Yeah.
And the fact that they were hiding it, I thought, what if they were actually very proud of the game and they said, like, you know what, we don't need your reviews.
We want to surprise you.
We want to surprise you as to how good it can be.
Yeah.
And I think they did not do that.
Right.
Because like I said, the collectibles it felt very hollow as well. Like you get to pick up Playboy magazines and like some communist posters and stuff, but like they don't do anything.
So there you have it, like the two games that we reviewed today. the conclusions is just wait for Christmas sale, or you know, just wait for next year's Easter sale. It's not a must buy.
Right.
It's a good game, but you could you know, wait till maybe you have the extra cash or ask for a Christmas present instead. And you know.
Although I must say that I'm very sure Mafia 3 will have an expansion story.
Of course, yeah.
And I also think that FIFA 17 will have an expanded story for Alex Hunter.
Yeah, because it reaches only a certain limit, right? Because you're not going to spoil it for you in that sense.
Yes, but
it's a limit you reach, right?
I would bank on the FIFA 17 story more than the Mafia 3 story.
On the flip side, you could always go out and buy yourself Farming Simulator 17, which I understand is extremely challenging.
Yeah. Have you heard of Goat Simulator?
Yes. Like, yeah. Have you heard of Goat Simulator?
Of course.
We should do a review of Goat Simulator.
Yeah. You can buy it first.
No, or if you don't want to play any of these two games, you should get Overwatch.
For sure.
Speaking of Overwatch, just an update, because Halloween is around the corner.
Yeah.
When the hour grows late and the sun sets low, when the shadows grow long and the nights grow cold, there's a chill in the air, and you know what that means. It's Halloween time with yours truly, Junkenstein.
There will be a Halloween expansion. Well, not really expansion. It's just an update.
Yeah, it's like the summer Olympic Games.
Right.
Update.
Oh,
yeah. So this one, you get new skins, new sprays.
It's running until November the 1st. A whole bunch of new loot boxes as well.
Ooh, yeah.
And a new co-op brawl mode that happens just for this period. That's coming.
And now there is also a leaderboard.
Oh.
So you can see the top 500 players you can see it in America, in Europe, in Asia. I've checked it. The highest ranked players are all in the 4,000s.
Right.
I think 4,004, 4,005, that's in Asia. I am 2,024.
Just because, a sly little plug there.
Yeah, because like in competitive mode, like it's not advisable to solo queue.
True.
Right? And Richard, you have not been playing. And like,
this is true.
I'm alone. And Jeff, I don't know what you're doing with Battlefield or FIFA or whatever.
I've been on Overwatch like maybe one game per week.
Right. And our other player, Butch, has moved house as well. Yeah. So it's all stress right now.
Yeah. Anyways, we're sort of running out of time. So Richard, your one story.
Yes, very, very, very quickly.
Which
It was about Tomb Raider, in fact. 20 years ago on October the 11th, Tomb Raider was released. Think about that for a second. First edition of Tomb Raider, 20 years ago. Now, they've just released it's called Rise of the Tomb Raider, which has finally come to PS4. It's been on Xbox One exclusive for the last year. We can now get a copy of it. They have these retro PlayStation era jewel cases that it comes in, a whole bunch of other very cool stuff. They've just released a book about it as well.
Wow.
So if you're a Tomb Raider fan, it's worth checking out.
Best Tomb Raider game that you've played?
Oh, Tomb Raider 3.
Oh,
I think.
3?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, have you played any Tomb Raider?
I have, but my memory of Tomb Raider is a very boy-ish one.
Okay. All
because
right.
there were right. certain mods that you could put on Tomb Raider in the past.
Yes, there were.
Mine were. Mine will be Tomb Raider 2, and it will be playing in the Croft Mansion. Remember you had the house and you could there's a maze outside of the house.
That's the one. That's the one that you can put a mod on it. I remember that. Because I completed the maze.
For very different reasons,
yes,
I guess.
Yes.
So there you have it.
But no, I mean, it's out on the PlayStation 4. It's about the same price as stuff normally is. It's 200 and something ringgit. Mm. It's got 9.3 out of 10 on IGN and 9 out of 10 on Steam. Worth checking out, I think.
All right. So
if you're a fan of Tomb Raider and Lara Croft, as clearly you two boys
are. Jen Han is clearly a fan of Lara Croft.
You
can't
mod it on the PlayStation, so it's okay.
Anyways,
I'll
Jen
play
Han,
for the game.
Thank you so much for coming in
and
doing the reviews with us. My name is Jeff Sandu, and
I've been Rich Bradbury.
This has been Game Time Episode 23, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.